Pastor Dave, Sunday morning, 9th of August, 2026. Psalm 145, titled, Life in Hope, from the series called Psalms, Life in Colour.
In a moment, we're going to look at that psalm together. You'll find it helpful to have one of the Bibles in front of you. Let's just ask for God's help as we do this. Father, thank you that you are good and faithful. Thank you that we can worship your holy name. And we pray that we would be blessed by hearing from your word this morning. Amen. Well, we've come here, haven't we? And I wonder how you're feeling. I wonder how you're feeling about keeping going. Sometimes it just feels like life is putting one step in front of the other just to keep going. And to keep going when things are hard or there are big changes going on or we face disappointments, or to keep going when nothing seems to work out the way we'd planned. If you're here and you would say that you're a Christian, I wonder how you feel about keeping going in the Christian life, about trusting in Jesus. We're going to spend some time this morning thinking about Psalm 145, and we're especially thinking about verse 14, because it really spoke to me when I was preparing this. And I felt this is a message that we need to hear when we face these hardships and trials and difficulties to keep going. So if you've got the Bible, look with me at verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. If you feel that you are bowed down this morning, this psalm has great encouragement for us that the God, the mighty and powerful God, who is the greatest of all time, the sovereign and faithful Lord, picks up those who are bowed down. You see there, when you see the Lord in capital letters, that is Yahweh, the personal covenant name of God. He that is to lift us up when we're bowed down. If you're here and you are a Christian, this is what your God is like. If you're here and you're not really sure, just thinking about this, this is what the God is like who could be your God. But to get to verse 14, we kind of need to work through the psalm a little bit. The psalm of praise. As Stephen said, the last psalm attributed to David. This glorious praise of God, that the acts of God, the character of God, the kingdom of God. And did you see, for nearly all the way through it, we're not actually called to do anything. Are we? Did you notice that? That we are called to listen and to rejoice and to be encouraged as David describes God in all his glory. It's only in verse 21 that we see what we've got to do. We're called to join in. Let every creature praise his holy name forever. And the whole of the rest of the psalm is about God. I wonder what would have come to your mind if you heard, well, this morning we've got a psalm all about God. And you'd hear, well, God is mighty and great and powerful. Would you then think of the kindness of God? The tenderness, the compassion of God? This is our delight this morning. That if you're falling and failing and struggling and weary, the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. That if you are Christians, God's power is set to work in your life to keep you going and to preserve you and to help your faith and your hope last the distance. Keeping going by depending on the strength the Lord provides. that the Lord will give you what you need. The powerful, covenant, faithful God is here and He will uphold you. Maybe the words of a Christian song, maybe words of comfort in your Bible reading. Maybe He will cause a truth to come to mind that you'd forgotten or struggled to take on board. Maybe He'll raise you up by a phone call from a friend or support from someone in your small group. That all the means the mighty God has to keep you going. I want you to think of it like this. So if we think about mammals, okay, think about mammals, that human beings are mammals, and they're, you know, a kind of tiny part of the animal kingdom. The estimate that I read is somewhere between 100 and 1,000 times as many other mammals on earth as there are as humans. Apparently, there might be 10,000 fish for every one human being. Think about that. Where's your fish? Where's your 10,000 fish? There's a lot of living things out there. I don't dread to think how many insects for every human being. All these flies. I don't know. We've got 10,000 flies at the moment. Didn't you have? Look at verse 15. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. That God can feed a trillion mammals every day, let alone do everything else. Don't you think He can take care of you? That our God will uphold us when we feel like we're going to fall. That our God will keep us going. And throughout this psalm, we see the God who upholds us because of who He is. That the God who upholds us because of who He is, in His character, in His very nature, to look after His people. You think you're having a tough year? Think about King David. He was chased and hunted. People trying to kill him. People betraying him, stuffing up and sinning big time. But he knows the God who upheld him. Look with me at verses 8 to 9. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He's made. And depending how familiar you might be with your Bible, it could be ringing some bells for you. Do you hear? This is how God reveals Himself to Moses before the Exodus. That this is the God of rescue. That God is not angry or vindictive or mean. He is slow to anger and rich in love. And He upholds us because of who He is. We know we're not supposed to grumble. Anyone love a, I love a good grumble. Anyone else love a good, you love it and it feels great. And we grumble against God and you think, oh, it's not fair, God. And we need to hear God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Well, look at verses 13b and 17. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does. So we need to pause and just think for a moment. Don't need to shout it out. Who's the kindest, most faithful person that you know? About that person, the kindest person that you know. Maybe you've got a friend who never forgets you. They're always ready with a helping hand and a listening ear. Maybe a really gracious mom or dad. Or maybe you've had a teacher or a doctor who's gone out of their way to help you. Who do you know who's kind, faithful? That this psalm reminds us, God in His very nature is kinder than the kindest person that you know. God is more reliable than the most trustworthy person you've ever met. God is more faithful than the most dependable friend. And all his works show his faithfulness. Do you think the most kind, the most faithful, the best person you know, their kindness was limited, wasn't it? However nice they were, it was mixed with their selfishness or their anxieties or just their human limitations. They couldn't be kind to you. They had to sleep or eat or because God is greater. He can be totally relied upon. Anyone ever tried to help someone and find it totally backfires? Anyone done that? You know, you try and do this and it ends up in a total mess and it was worse than if you'd not bothered. Friends, that never happens to God. He knows the end from the beginning. He is always perfectly reliable, perfectly trustworthy. His plans always work out. And his character is loving. You probably know that. You could probably say that, but maybe in the midst, everything that's going on for you right now, it doesn't feel like it. God loves you. He has not created these hardships because he hates you. Because he wants to display his anger against you. Because he doesn't care. God is rich in love. The God who is rich in love will uphold you when you're falling. But maybe then you wonder, well, God, if you're so great, why are you making my life so difficult? If you're picking me up, why do I feel like I'm falling down? And friends, part of the answer is this, that God's love and his kindness are directed towards our ultimate good, towards our delighting in him, in glory, in the new creation forever. That's not the same as what we think we want right now. And we should be clear on this because sometimes that's hard, isn't it? That because God loves us, his goal for the right now might be different than our goal. That his goal is our ultimate good, our becoming more like the Lord Jesus. What is truly best? It's a little like if you have children or experience of small children, they say, well, I want that. Well, no, I think that knife is just too big for you right now. You want it. You're disappointed that you can't have it. That is not the best thing for you. I want these, but they taste horrible. But I want them. But that is not the best thing for you right now. It is not that God is a killjoy or a spoilsport or mean. He's like a good parent who loves us by saying, no, this is what you need. This is the way you should go. And he loves us in the ways that we sometimes wouldn't choose. And yet that's hard sometimes, isn't it? That's hard to understand. You think, God, I don't see how this is best for me. How could this be best for me? And we're given this psalm to remind us that the Lord is trustworthy in all he does. That the Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. And it may be that God is using these hard times to draw our hearts back to him, to shake us from our complacency to total dependence upon him. But God is good to all and has compassion on all that he's made, that God upholds us because of who he is. And do you see too that God upholds us in what he does? That God upholds us in what he does. And that kind of follows on from the last point. You see, for human beings, for people like me, My motives are always mixed. They're a mixture of good and bad. And on my good days, they're more good than bad. And on my bad days, the other way around. And out of good motives, sometimes I do bad things. And I mess up even the good things I do out of bad motives. And that is not the case with God. That what God does is always the outflow of his character. That when God does good things, when God keeps us going, he does that because that's who he is. Because he cares for us. Look at verse 6. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. And verse 10. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. And verse 20. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. How is it that we trust God? How is it that we know that God will keep us in this chaotic world? That his actions show the glory and beauty and majesty of his character. That the beauty and majesty of the world created just by a word, by God out of nothing. God did that. He will uphold us. Think of the power of the Exodus, where God drew his people out of Egypt, out of slavery and darkness and into light. God did that. He will uphold us. Or think of David's day, where time after time, God's king faced the enemies and God protected him. Our God did that. He will uphold us. Because what he does reveals his character. I remember a few years ago when I took one of the kids swimming and they were playing by the side of the pool. There was this little watering can by the side of the pool. And so naturally it was very exciting. They were playing with this watering can and slipped off the side into the pool, suddenly falling towards the water. And it was a deep swimming pool. It was just about in my depth. It was very much out of their depth. Falling. And then do you know what happened? I caught them. Standing right next to them. Feet barely touched the water, back on the side. And that was it. I'm not a kind of superhero. I'm not the kind of Baywatch superhero. I was just standing there. And then I caught them and picked them back up. But a child was in trouble and I caught them and rescued them. And it is that picture in this psalm. A loving father who catches his children as they fall and picks them up again. That's the God that we see in this psalm. The God who's mighty and powerful and picks his children back up when they fall. But there is a warning, isn't there? Verse 20. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Yeah, as you read it, aren't you struck by the fleeting impact of the wicked? That compared to God and his power and his people, half a line. If you're here and you do not love God, it is a warning. All the wicked he will destroy. And maybe you need to hear that. Maybe you need to bow the knee to this God of love because of this warning. Half a line and then they're gone. But if you love him and you trust him, God's people have no need to fear. Look at verse 7. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. His goodness and righteousness are there to preserve us, that God upholds us in what he does. Yeah, we need to say, well, how? We've seen because of who he is and what he does. And now we see God upholds us through his forever king. That God upholds us through his forever king. Then we read again, verse 11. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. How does God uphold us? Because he's made his people part of his kingdom. A few years ago, I think it was, I can't remember how many years ago now it was, I got a new passport. Okay, it was a blue one, so that tells me when it was. Anyone ever read their passport? Anyone take the time to read their passport? Yeah, a few people. Let me read to you the words at the front of the passport. His Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires, in the name of His Majesty, to all those whom it may concern, to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance, and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. I love those words. First, he's going to request you, but if that's not enough, he's going to require you. The king demands that you let me pass. The king demands that you help me. The king demands that you protect me. Why? Because I'm a citizen. Because I am a subject of the king. And it's a two-way street. I'm a subject and I serve. And he's the king and he protects. That's how it works with King Charles, isn't it? I am entitled to his protection because I'm a citizen. And so it is with God. That I am entitled to his protection because I am a citizen of his kingdom. This everlasting and splendid and glorious kingdom, and God will uphold those in his kingdom. And the New Testament shows us how this works. I've got all this big talk in my passport. I am not convinced that His Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State, I don't think they know who I am. Who's the Secretary of State at the moment anyway? I don't know who they are. They don't know who I am. I'm just a kind of name on a big list. But God's king knows who I am. That King Jesus knows who you are. That he personally upholds me. He raises up my head when it's bowed down. He lifts me up when I fall. He catches me when I slip. I want you just to think for a moment of the kindness and power of Jesus in the Gospels. His kindness with the weak and the vulnerable. His love and compassion upon little children. How he personally lifts up those who are bowed down. And next time you read the Gospels, think of the kindness of Jesus to those people. That is the splendor of God's kingdom. The king who's compassionate and powerful and lifts up those who are bowed down. That your king knows your name. And you feel weak and weary and bowed down. The king demands that you be protected. I want to just read some words from Luke chapter 1 about the birth of the king. These familiar words and yet great all the time that this is the king. This is what Gabriel says to Mary. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Or Zechariah, talking about Jesus coming. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. You see how God fulfills the desire of those who hear him. He hears their cry and saves them and sends them a forever king, a kind and gracious king who knows your name. That when life seems dark, when things seem hard, this king is our hope. That God, who did not spare his own son, how much will he not graciously give us all things? How do we respond? We praise the Lord who upholds us. That's the whole point of the psalm, isn't it? Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. That we praise him, that we turn these temptations to grumble into opportunities for praise. Hey, if you're listening to this, you're still here. Yeah, it's been tough, but you're still here. Turn that groan into a praise and a prayer. God, thank you for keeping me going. God, this is really hard. God, keep me trusting. That we praise the Lord from one generation to another. And while we might be a bit more battered, a bit more bruised than we felt we were last year, in God's grace, we're stronger. We're still here. We're still relying on our great God who upholds us when we're bowed down. The God who upholds us by sending his son to be bowed down that we could be lifted up.